On Calvary's peak, my dear faithful, our Lord finally arrives after his long, painful journey with the cross. And so we begin the fifth sorrowful mystery of the Rosary, the consummation of the sacrifice. By now, our Savior is wearied down to his very bones, barely able to stand. The executioners take the cross from his shoulders, at last freeing him from its weight. However, there is no time to enjoy this relief from his burden, as the merciless soldiers immediately grab Christ. They then rip his garments from him, tearing open his wounds from the scourges again and exposing him to the people. The soldiers drag our Savior and throw him upon the cross. And Jesus, though exhausted and trembling with pain as he is, he willingly lays himself down upon that cross. Of his own accord, he stretches out his arms to be fastened to the wood. At the same time, our Lord offers himself to the soldiers for his execution. He offers himself to God the Father for love of us. To consummate this offering, he meekly holds his arms over the holes in the cross as the executioners loom over him, holding iron nails and a hammer. These nails are about 9 inches long and about as thick as a man's finger. The point of the nail is placed in the palm of our Lord's hand. Then the hammer swings down, driving the nail through flesh and bone into the wood. Again and again, the hammer strikes, pounding on that nail until its tip is driven clear through to the other side of the wood. Then they move on to the other hand, and finally the third for his feet, their hammer as unrelenting as death itself. For some time, the dull thuds resound in the air, while groans and sobs are heard among the followers of Christ, and cries of exultation come from the scribes and the Pharisees. A soldier then fixes Pilate's inscription on the cross, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." Centuries before, King David foresaw all this in prophecy. He spoke in Christ's name, saying, "They have dug my hands and my feet. They have numbered all my bones." It is about noon when the cross is raised, and at that moment, the peal of trumpets sound in Jerusalem. These silver trumpets call the people to prepare for the afternoon sacrifice of the Lamb at 3 o'clock. While here on the hill of Calvary is the true Lamb of God, foretold from the world's foundations, dying to fulfill all that the prophecies and the temple services foretold. To do this, the executioners throw the ropes over the crosspiece, and while two pull on them, the other four lift up the cross with its victim nailed to it. As the figure of the Lord appears raised on high, cries of joy, exultation, and mockery rise from the great crowd on all sides. The soldiers direct the foot of the cross towards the hole in the ground, into which it falls with a frightful shock. The body of the suffering Lord, with his whole weight, comes down on the wounds in his hands and feet, tearing the flesh and tendons, lacerating the sinews and cords, the muscles quivering with terrific agony. Our Savior's drooping head lifts in a wretched groan of pain, only to strike against the wood of the cross, driving the thorns deeper into his flesh. Thus was Christ raised up as he had foretold, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all things to myself. Soon after our Lord's cross is fixed there, the crosses of the two thieves are erected as well, fulfilling another prophecy. He was reputed with the wicked. And at last, the stage is set for the redemption of the world. Jesus, the victim, the priest, the Savior, speaks several times from his altar of sacrifice. As we recall his seven last words, keep this picture in your mind. See the cross, about 15 feet tall. Christ's hands and feet are nailed to the wood. Blood drips from the wounds across his body, but from those fresh, gaping wounds in his hands and feet, it pours forth in a constant stream. His chest struggles to rise and fall, and every few moments, the arms, hanging limp from fatigue before, now strain upon the nails to pull up for even just one more gasp of air. Then the divine Savior falls forward again to relieve his hands of the agony that pull for air caused. You can see the great black thorns intertwined in his hair and his skin, some buried deep while others poke out. As he hangs there limply, his head bends down, but in this picture, his eyes are upon you again. Now, my dear faithful, with that image in your mind, let us hear the seven last words of our Savior. He who is innocent and suffers as a criminal has no words of condemnation on the cross. Instead, he gives only touching words of prayer, of comfort, and of consolation. His mind is not upon his own suffering, but upon those around him and upon sinners. Our Lord's first words from the cross, while hanging from gaping wounds in his hands and feet, are, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Our Savior excuses his torturers, praying they be forgiven for it. Then, when one of the thieves blasphemes Christ, and the good thief Dismas defends him, then implores Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Our Savior takes pity upon this poor sinner and answers Dismas, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." Later, our Savior cries out, "I thirst." This is something the soldiers expect to hear, for any time a person suffers a great loss of blood, they will experience a burning thirst. However, this physical longing for water is not what our Lord was seeking for. Instead, he thirsts for souls, for someone to see his suffering, sufferings, read his love in them, and make a return of love to him. He prays with infinite longing for the redemption of souls. Finally, the time chosen from all eternity arrives. Jesus Christ says, "It is finished." Then turning his face to his eternal Father in heaven, he says, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Only by his choice, at the moment that he wishes, does death dare approach him. Exhausted and constricted by the crucifixion as he is, our Lord, having cried out with a loud voice, gives up the ghost. At last, the sacrifice is accomplished. The victory is won, even amidst the appearance of utter failure and of tormented death. Behold our loving Savior, my dear faithful, so filled with compassion, so merciful, so tender. From the throne of his cross, he reaches out to us, thirsting for our love and for our salvation. The depth of the love of the Sacred Heart for man is truly beyond our comprehension. He reaches out to embrace our souls with his grace, begging and pleading always that we be better and not wound his most sacred heart more by our sins. St. Louis de Montfort tried to convey this love for sinners in writing these words as if they came from Christ. "Come all ye to me, it is I. Do not fear. Why are you afraid? I am like unto you. I love you. Do you fear because you are sinners? But it is sinners I am seeking. I am the friend of sinners. Or is it because through your own fault you have strayed from the fold? But I am the good shepherd, seeking after the lost sheep. Is it finally because you are weighed down by your sins, covered with filth and burdened with sadness? Ah, but that is precisely a reason for coming to me, because I will refresh and comfort you." For the salvation of mankind, for the return of sinners, for you and me, our Savior chose to endure every step of his passion. Today, on Good Friday, we have followed him through each part of the story as contained in each of the sorrowful mysteries of the Rosary. In the agony of the garden, we contemplated the love of the Sacred Heart that chose to bear death for us. In the scourging at the pillar, we beheld the torture sin causes our Savior and his answer of forgiveness to us in the confessional. In the crowning of thorns, we saw the King of Kings mocked, scorned, and tortured anew, so that we may overcome our thorns of temptations and be crowned with eternal glory. In the carrying of the cross, we witness the torturous steps of our Lord under that great weight, and Our Lady trailing beside him, hoping we too will patiently bear the crosses of our lives. Finally, we have arrived at the crucifixion, the death of the God-man, the murder of the Messiah. No greater love than this doth any man hath, than that he lay down his life for his friends. See our Lord hanging upon the cross. See this greatest testament of his love in the image of the crucifix. Again, draw your mind to it. See our Savior hanging there, the nailed hands and feet, the crown wreathing his head, and his head leaning forward in exhaustion. From all eternity, our Savior planned for every detail of his passion, including even this, the posture that he chose for the cross. From all eternity, he chose this, for as St. Francis of Assisi explains, his head is bent to kiss you. His arms are open to embrace you. The Sacred Heart offers this proof of his infinite devotion to your soul. And now, on this Good Friday, when we contemplate such suffering, such a sacrifice, such a gift to us, now he hopes for an answer from you. Every suffering of the Passion was a prayer from the Sacred Heart to God the Father for your redemption. And at the same time, he is asking, begging, pleading, won't you love me? Please look at what I have given you. Won't you love me in return? My most Sacred Heart is open to you. Come to me. Enjoy the fire of my love. Behold my sacrifice and make a return of love to me. As we pray this next decade, my dear faithful, look to our Lord's sacrifice, look to his death, and determine, resolve to give back to our Lord, to sacrifice yourself for him, to give your heart to the most Sacred Heart. And what a comfort you will be to him. All these pains we have contemplated, all will be well worth that cost, if only you give a return of love to him.